Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Sometimes going to the grocery store can be chaotic. There doesn't seem to be enough time to check the list, make sure everything is there, search for the best prices, and take the time to make sure you got the best quality meat. So, let ButcherBox help you out. Giving you peace of mind, ButcherBox delivers high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust straight to your door. No grocery carts required. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or hormones, 100% grass-fed, free-range, and crate-free. What more can you ask for? What about free shipping, customized box plans, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, tips, and tricks? You really can't go wrong with ButcherBox. Sign up at butcherbox.com/morningcup and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/morningcup and use code morningcup to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning.
Cup of murder.
Cases can come to a roadblock for a number of reasons. But what if that dead end comes not because of lack of evidence or witnesses, but because the police don't seem to want to investigate the case? On April 2nd, 1974, a pair of twins were born, and at the age of just 15, were thrust into a case that, due in large part to a faulty investigation, remains unsolved even decades later. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. On March 18th, 1990, Danette Latonia Millbrook and her fraternal twin, Jeanette Latrice Millbrook, walked to their local church's chicken restaurant in Augusta, Georgia, and had lunch together. When they returned home a short while later, they told their mother that a man in a van had followed them for part of their walk, but neither knew who he was or what he wanted. A little later in the day, they decided to walk to their godfather's home to try and borrow some money to take the city bus to school the following week, because recently, they had moved to a new apartment that was a bit farther from school than before. Securing $20, a little for the bus and a little for snacks, the twins then went to their cousin's house and asked her to walk with them back home. But the girl's mother would not allow her to accompany them because it would be dark soon. On their own again, the girls stopped at their older sister's home to visit for about 15 minutes and requested that she walk with them. But having recently given birth, she too declined. In the days that followed, everyone who knew the girls would comment on how strange it was that they made multiple requests for someone to join them on their walk, almost as if they knew something bad was going to happen. With the little bit of extra money they had, the girls stopped at a local gas station and purchased some snacks. Speaking with the clerk, Gloria, who was familiar with the twins, she later said that she didn't notice anything out of the ordinary, and the girls seemed completely normal. She would be the last person to ever see Danette and Jeanette Millbrook. When the girls failed to come home by nightfall, their younger sister, Shanta, went out to look for them. But after walking around with no success, she came back home and her mother called the police. Not known as the runaway type and known as good kids who didn't like to cause any trouble, When their mother called the police and told them all of this, they still made her wait 24 hours before making the official report. And because the original police file was allegedly lost, very little is known about that initial search slash investigation into their disappearance. We do know that when she called after those 24 hours, their mother was put through to a detective who told her, quote, they probably ran away. And in the meantime, according to their sister's claims, their father, John Millbrook, quote, never wanted to look for them and told them to tell the police that he was dead if they came looking for him. Off to an incredibly weird start, things only got worse when mistakes in reports were made, such as misspelling their last name and mistakenly listing Jeanette's middle name as Latressa, which is how it was entered into the Charlie Project, and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's database. And then suddenly, without warning, the case as a whole was closed in 1991, right around the time that the girls turned 17. The reason for the closure is still debated today, with their family saying the officers told them it was because of their age, meaning they could no longer legally be forced back home, and the original investigator claiming that he was told by a juvenile case officer that the girls had already been found. Now removed from the National Registry of Missing Children, as far as police were concerned, the girls simply ran away, and there was nothing that could be done about it. At a complete roadblock for years, in 1993, someone came forward and informed the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children to report that the twins had been found right around the time that the original case file disappeared. And for officials, that was that. No file, no case, no reports. There was no need to work a case that, in their minds, didn't even exist. The family, however, was unwilling to give up the fight to find Danette and Jeanette Millbrook. Contacting the sheriff's office constantly, always given different reasons for why the case was closed, including one that claimed the girls were placed in foster care and later adopted, the girls' family made sure that no one forgot about them. Their hard work and demands finally paid off in 2013, when after years of advocacy from their mother, Mary, and their sister, Shanta, the case was finally reopened, and a sheriff in media releases was quoted saying, "We think a terrible injustice has been done for the last 20 years." As interest sparked, in 2017, the sheriff's office met with the Millbrook family to discuss what is considered the only case in which a set of twins has gone missing and remains unresolved, and to collect familial DNA samples. That's the same year that a podcast, The Fall Line, took an active role in the search for Danette and Jeanette and raised $10,000 for a reward. A meeting with the sheriff's department led the family to believe that the reward would be officially announced and matched by the sheriff's department, but the department itself denies making such a commitment. As the podcast, as well as a 2019 Oxygen series on the case, examined if racism and classism played a role in what is clearly a botched investigation, more and more people became aware of Danette and Jeanette's story. According to the Oxygen series, though it was always reported that the girls disappeared from that convenience store, new evidence revealed that they may have been picked up and brought to their father's home on 3rd Street. A chilling revelation when combined with his bizarre statements made early in the case and how his daughter claimed that he never wanted to look for the twins. It also revealed that a man currently in prison may know information about that day and has allegedly claimed that a drug party took place at their father's home and that this was where the girls were last seen. Though, according to a statement by the police, they say that this man's statements were not connected to the Millbrook twins. Their father has since passed away, so if he knew what happened to them all those years ago, that secret, unfortunately, died along with him. He remains a suspect in the eyes of most, including his own daughter. Concerned with the lack of publicity for the reward, the Fall Line took things a step further and, partnered with Unresolved Podcast, raised money for a billboard to advertise the reward. While the case remains a mystery, due in large part to various mistakes made over the years, there have been a handful of cases that connect to the twins' disappearances that are worth noting. Some that, maybe, can help solve the mystery. There is the 1993 Aiken County Jane Doe, whose skeletal remains were found on January 25th, 1993, and were believed to be the result of a homicide that occurred between 1990 and 1992. Found near Shaw's Creek in Aiken County, South Carolina, testing determined that the Jane Doe, like the Millbrook twins, was black. And though the woman remains unidentified, the family strongly believes facial reconstructions resemble Jeanette, despite the fact that, when the remains were found, the family was told that they did not belong to either twin, but were never given a reason why. Unfortunately, this was confirmed when DNA testing was done. Another strange connection was to Joseph Patrick Washington, a man who was sentenced to 17 consecutive life sentences in 1995 for numerous criminal convictions, like abductions, and the sexual assault of five women, three of whom survived, and was also allegedly active in the girls' neighborhood around the time of their disappearance. Facing the death penalty for the murder of Marilyn Denise Kelly, and suspected in the murder of Loretta Dukes, though he died in 1999 before the trial, many believe that he may be connected to the twins' disappearance, with one source saying that there was a connection between him and the girl's father. In June of 2021, a private investigator took over the case in hopes of finally getting some answers. The new billboard was put up, the reward was increased, and a number of nonprofit groups began trying to help the Millbrook family finally get the closure they deserve. Someone must know something. At least that's the family's hope. And maybe, finally, that person can come forward through the available channels and help finally crack the case. Even the smallest piece of evidence might just help. The last real update I could find was that the family, keeping quiet as to not disrupt the investigation, said that the investigator was already making progress. But as of April 2023, the case remains unsolved. This, hopefully, has changed since the recording of this episode. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear what terrible thing happened on April 3rd. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.